0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we get set for another unmissable weekend across Scottish football. Martin O'Neill says he's surprised at the extent of Kasper Schmeichel's injury and admits he would have preferred to not find out second hand. Danny Rule's hoping for points plus performances to push Rangers towards the title. They're sandwiched in between Hearts and Celtic in this weekend's schedule. And it's not just the Premiership title race. Tonight sees Partick Thistle against St Johnston in what might just be a must not lose game for the Jags. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
I've rarely seen a player take a flamethrower to his reputation and his image in the way that Kasper Schmeichel has done at Celtic. Martin O'Neill is entitled to his disillusionment with what's going on. And my go-to Celtic guy in the bank today assures me that the Celtic supporters are not having this. Kasper Schmeichel, they feel, has used the club. Away from that issue, for me, Celtic at Tannadice on Sunday, Rangers against Aberdeen tomorrow night, Hearts against Dundee tomorrow afternoon. For me, it's brass tacks time now. The top three against three teams from the bottom six. If you want to be champions, these are the days when you have to rise to the occasion and take all 3 points, all three teams.
Yeah, some big week again, obviously, in the league. I think, obviously, Hearts positives, Shanklin and Devlin back in training. That'll be a huge boost to them as they look to extend the lead at the top. Rangers, listen, it's a game they must win at Ibrox. There's no getting away from that. And then it puts the pressure on Celtic come Sunday. A tricky tie away to Dundee United up at Tannadice. We've seen, obviously, earlier in the season, that first half where Celtic blew them away, just couldn't quite get the numbers with the goals. But after that, Dundee United came back into the game, so I think it'll be a difficult game, but all teams looking to win again this weekend.
Come on then, 01419511025. We're back. These weekends come around quicker than ever. They are bigger than ever. The tension is higher than ever. So what are you thinking tonight? Please do give us a call and let us know what is on your mind. Out of nowhere, what threatened to be a relatively quiet midweek was overtaken by Kasper Schmeichel, and such is the news cycle. It was always going to kick on today when Martin O'Neill finally had his say. So we'll play what he had to say. If you've seen it already, Celtic fans, what do you make of it? The fact that Martin O'Neill didn't realise how serious the injury was, seems to have come as a bit of a surprise. Found out after hearing that it had been on TV, like many of you did. Does that surprise you? And what about the overall feelings on that issue? We can pretty much draw a line under it after tonight, you would imagine, and then it's going to be full steam ahead to see how Valjami Sinisalo does between now and the end of the season. But we've been looking forward for the last few days to hearing Martin O'Neill's verdict. We'll let you hear said verdict, but we want to know what you think of it, so let us know right now, please. Danny Rule today, quite low-key, a couple of minor updates, if you like, one or two potential injuries. Diomandé's back training. There's a small issue with Mikey Moore that they're managing. Scott Olsen could be a doubt. The sort of mystery surrounding Derek Cornelius continues. He's gone off to Canada duty early, but then again, he wasn't exactly a main member of the first team at the moment anyway. But the main thing in terms of the title race, Danny Rule looking for that performance level and the winning of the 3 points. They clearly got the latter in Paisley last week, not so much the former. Is this the weekend, Rangers fans, you think it can start to come together? Does it need to come together? Is that what gives you the real confidence that you can win the title if you start winning these games, but in a bit of style as well? So get your thoughts in there ahead of the visit of Aberdeen. It's now Stephen Robinson's Aberdeen, of course. Does that change anything? And what about you, Hearts fans? You're up first. Does that suit you? You were up first a couple of weekends in the past. It went in your favour. And then last weekend, you had to sort of finish it off on a Saturday night, and it didn't go to plan there before Rangers played the next day. So what are you thinking this weekend, Hearts fans? Give us a call, please, 01419511025. And as if that is not enough, maybe you're enjoying the sunshine in the West End. You're going to wander down to Firhill for a massive game at the top of the Championship tonight. Why not pick up the phone on the way? Is it, Hugh Keevans, a case that we won't say it when they're here? Alec Ray and Tony Watt and Mark Wilson, they probably can't afford to lose this tonight, can they?
They absolutely cannot afford to lose. I wish Mark and Alec all the very best. I hope they do it. But St Johnston, if they win tonight, will be the champions, and there's no point in kidding yourself on. Partick would then be looking at the playoffs and see if they can get up in that way. But tonight is the last throw of the dice for Mark.
Yeah, must win for Thistle for me. I know you're saying must not lose, but for me, I think they need to win. I think you've got to take into consideration, though, they are missing some of their better players.
But I don't think if that points gap stayed as it was, though, that's not over. That's why I say
I'm just looking at it from how St Johnston will see this game. If they can go to Thistle and come away with 3 points, just the momentum grows and the belief in
the squad. Win for sure, but I just thought a draw maybe didn't change loads.
I'm going for the win. Thistle need the win.
Yeah.
Okay. 0141 951 1025. Maybe we can have a very quick and not exciting argument about that as well, about whether it is a must win, must not lose, whatever it is you tell us. But we are looking forward to that game in the Championship tonight, right at the top. Sun shining Friday night. This is the night that the Championship comes in to its own. And then on to the top flight this weekend, Hugh, which yet again, like it is every other week, is going to be unmissable. But then again, every week that passes, things go up a notch.
That's why I say, for me, the circumstances are such. You have Hearts, Celtic and Rangers in that order in the league table. They're playing 3 teams from the bottom 6. Aberdeen have had a horrendous season for a club of their size. Dundee United have last weekend summed up their season by throwing away a derby in the most ridiculous fashion. The only one with credit, I think, for this season is Stephen Presley in Dundee, because they were the promoted club. Stephen wasn't wanted by the Dundee fans as manager. He's hung in there, he's had great results, and they will present a worry to Hearts after the Kilmarnock result last weekend, because if Hearts throw away any points tomorrow, then I'm sorry, Derek, but people will say your bottle's gone.
0141 951 1025. Let's hear from Stephen, who's a Celtic fan, to kick things off. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Gordon, Hugh, and who else is on?
Scott Allen.
Scott Allen. Hi, Scott. How are you doing?
Good.
So, my point tonight is I'm just following on for the kind of Casper Schmeichel thing and Martin O'Neill kind of speaking out it. I think as a whole, it just shows how poor the recruitment has been at Celtic. That last season, in my opinion, Casper was really good, apart from the cup final, really, really good player, a really good keeper. And if he'd have retired last year, he'd have went out with a bang. Instead, he's went out with disillusion of the Celtic fans. And I think I've seen it all week on Twitter, and a lot of people kind of like sticking up for him and stuff like that. But see, at the end of the day, these guys aren't mercenaries. They're getting paid tens of thousands of pounds worth a week to play football, which is a very good job. And they get the kind of the adulation of the fans when it's going well. But over this year, a lot of fans have been seeing that Casper Schmeichel hasn't been fit. He was overweight. You could see he wasn't diving the same way he was last year. And then when Sinis Alves came in, what, a month ago, 6 weeks ago, it's almost been like a breath of fresh air, because a lot of the stuff he saved in games, Schmeichel would have never got.
Hugh, what have you made of it this week?
First of all, I would say to Stephen, it's not reflective of Celtic's recruitment policy, which is, and I've said it often enough, terrible. Celtic have failed the club, failed managers, failed the fans by having successive transfer windows that are laughable. However, Casper Schmeichel doesn't come into that category. When he came to Celtic, Brendan Rodgers brought him in. Everyone said at the time, he's even better than Joe Hart, and he was outstanding for Celtic. But there's no doubt, and that's why I use the expression taking a flamethrower to his own reputation. There's no doubt he has used Celtic, he has let down Celtic, and he should have been more honest about the extent of his physical problem.
But did he, if he didn't know the full extent of it, is he not just the latest in a long line of players that play through injury? And what, you know, he might even present it, we've not heard from the man himself, he might even present it as, I've put my body on the line and I'm now going to miss a World Cup to try and stay fit for Celtic.
Yeah, Or did he try to stay fit for Denmark by using Celtic? Because there's no doubt that Kasper Schmeichel was not the same goalkeeper. I think he's also been disrespectful to the club to announce it in the manner in which he did. Very disrespectful to Martin O'Neill, a man who has worked hard this season to overcome various difficulties that have been put his way. So I think Kasper Schmeichel was disrespectful to Martin O'Neill in particular, to the club in general, and to the supporters, because he has not given full disclosure. He must have known just how bad things were.
No, and but I don't think he did. I don't think, we'll put it this way, he can't have known he was playing with a career-ending injury.
Well, I think when Stephen references the body distorting attempts that he made to save the ball, to protect a part of his body, players always say they know their own body best. He must have been aware of being in trouble.
Oh yeah, but that's, Scott, you'll know the extent of it. He can't have known he was playing with a career-ending injury. That's surely obvious, and then the truth will be somewhere in the middle.
No, yeah, I think, as you say, there, Gordon, the truth will be somewhere in the middle. I think the difference is when you're younger, you play through the things and usually come through the back of it and you recover quite well. The problem is, once you're older, you don't recover the same way. And I think Stephen makes a good point when you're not in physically the best condition you can be in, and that's clear for us all. We've seen it all season. The physical shape isn't probably what you'd expect from, in fact, it isn't the physical shape you'd expect from a Celtic goalkeeper, obviously getting paid the money he is. So I don't agree with you in the fact that he knew the extent of it, but I do feel there's the biggest problem for me is the communication from a Celtic point of view. That's one of your most experienced players in your changing room, a guy who's obviously hero status at Celtic, and Martin O'Neill, and for them and the head of the physio department, between the three of them, not to all be on the same page and know the extent of the injury, for it then to be released on watching a Champions League game during the week. It's really strange if you look at it from a communication point of view, because you are in there working on a day-to-day basis at a club like Celtic. There's not many days off, and for them not to have conversations about the extent of this injury, for me, is actually quite worrying.
He must have known he was going to communicate the news of the injury in the fashion in which he did, and not to speak to Martin O'Neill, I think, is very poor on his part.
Final word to you, Stephen.
I think there's been some good points raised. I just think the full thing is, it's embarrassing for Kasper to do it the way he's done it. I think it's embarrassing for the club in general, for a player to come out and say it like he has done. And I just think it's as a whole, it's just part of the whole car crash of a year that we've had at Celtic.
But there are self-inflicted problems that Celtic have had, as in signing a succession of players who are no use to Martin O'Neill. However, this is not the club's fault. This is a player's fault for not being up front.
Can I take Stephen's point, though? Not to say that they're all linked, but it's sort of like the type of thing that you get that feeling wouldn't happen to Celtic in the past. Now, that's not based in any fact or anything like that. When Celtic are winning trebles and everything's great and the club can do no wrong and the players can do no wrong, you understand why fans like Stephen think, what's next?
I think it's
what is next in this season, where the goalkeeper suddenly has to retire and nobody knew, and he pops up on American TV, you know.
Yeah, and then Martin was out speaking about it.
I see where Stephen's coming from in that.
Oh yeah, of course. It's like the COVID season, when if it could go wrong, it did go wrong, and that included a goalkeeper as well. They said the goalkeeper who couldn't save the ball in Barkas. But you know, I think Kasper Schmeichel knew he was going on television to say what he said.
Let's hear from Martin O'Neill on that. There's a few different strands here about what is the injury, who knew what, and then the way it was communicated. It feels like two separate issues. This is what Martin O'Neill had to say in the way that he found out, the way that he got the information.
No, I didn't think that Kasper was going to announce it, but he was with his dad at the time, and I think the dad was telling him, you must announce it here today. I'm joking. So I think that Tim, our physio, was aware that the scan had shown up much worse than we thought. But so I wasn't expecting to hear that. I didn't hear it firsthand, but I heard it secondhand. But anyway, it is what it is. Well, if that was the first announcement, I would have preferred to have heard it myself, you know. And way back in my time, if you didn't report it first of all to the football club, you could actually get a fine. So I need to go and check to see how his contract is. It's a really good point now. We could do with some of that money.
It's what an industrial tribunal would call industrial misconduct. You know, Stephen made the point early on that
maybe I think we're maybe going a wee bit far. Let's be careful. Celtic
Tim the physio really well, and I can imagine him sitting there at night, and obviously the news will come through because he'll get the text message. Obviously, being the head physio there, he's basically chucked him under the bus.
See quickly on the communication part of it, Hugh, because that was the clip there that we heard. We'll hear some of the other bits of it later on. Everything Martin O'Neill says now, it's his style, and it's fine, and a lot of it's endearing to people. You know, you hear it there's always a wee bit of humour about, oh, maybe I'll fine him, we can do with the money.
Yeah.
Or maybe his dad made him say it. Do you think there was enough in there to make you think that deep down the manager will be annoyed that he finds out that his goalkeeper's season and career is over because somebody tells him it was said on American TV?
Martin O'Neill, all season long, in two terms as manager, has had to play it for laughs in order to hold a club together. And that's what he's doing here in the midst of this situation. However, to go back to Stephen's early point about Kasper Schmeichel, he'll be on a very handsome wage at Celtic. And to go and break the news in the fashion in which he did is absolutely unacceptable.
The communication side of it for you?
Yeah, I think it's really poor. You obviously get a physio there and a manager who is very easy to communicate and explain the situation for then it be released through a Champions League game during the week. Really poor show for me.
Keep the calls coming. Thank you very much for opening the show there. It's 01419511025, and we'll reconvene in just a minute.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. 01419511025. Let's hear a bit more from Martin O'Neill on that injury. One of the most talked about.
Yeah, I must admit, I was surprised at the severity of it. I thought that I know that he was having injections to play some of the games, and while that's not a great remedy, I must admit, I didn't realise how bad it was, and so disappointed to hear the news, I must admit. I think just after the Rangers game, which he wasn't involved in the first one, he got an injection. I think that I don't think that went terribly well, he was telling me, and it caused a lot of inflammation more than anything else. In fact, it did the exact opposite. But he was making decent progress at the time. Then he's gone back, and to find out that it's just too bad to continue. So I know we've all played with injuries, but I didn't. I genuinely didn't know that it was as severe as that, and it was like a career-threatening one.
Let's ask Michael for his take on it. Hi, Michael.
Hi, I was just listening to the show on the Alexa radio there, Martin O'Neill's comments, because it's slightly behind the show on the phone. Yeah, it's in relation to everybody being and sort of in the dark about the seriousness of the injury. I mean, I'm wondering why Celtic medical staff, knowing that Kasper Schmeichel's had this injury for a number of weeks now, who is it that's declared that a career-ending injury if it's not Celtic medical staff?
It'll be the staff who obviously look at the MRI scan.
Yeah, we went for a scan, which is done with the knowledge of the club and so on. But yeah, that was the way that it came out this week, wasn't it?
It doesn't seem the club, because Martin O'Neill's saying he's sort of in the dark and didn't know the seriousness of it. And
well, that's the point. Nobody did. The Kasper Schmeichel. So this time last week, or this time 2 weeks ago, Kasper Schmeichel doesn't know the injury's career threatening. That's the point, isn't it?
Yeah. But so who is it that's declared it?
Whoever scanned him. I don't know specifically which doctor.
So what will happen is Celtic arrange, obviously, to go and get the MRI. Usually within 48 hours, you get.
Because he was at,
you get the written report
Martin
back.
Martin O'Neill was asked that explicitly. can you clear up? Was this done externally? Was it? And he said, no, it was, you know, it was done with the club's knowledge. You'll know what you go to a specialist in London or whatever. Yeah,
yeah.
If you'd got an issue that needs checked, so I kind of get where everyone's coming from here. I do think there's just a little balance to be struck where Kasper Schmeichel might have known he had an issue, but you have to at least take a slight bit of good faith and think he thought it was an issue he could get through. He didn't know He was playing with a career-threatening injury.
No, unfortunately for Kasper Schmeichel, because of the way the news was broken, he has lost the regard of the Celtic supporters, who now are of the opinion that he has used the club, disrespected the club, and Martin O'Neill in particular. Eventually, we're going to have to get round to talking about Vijay Sinisalo, because this young man has come in and done exceptionally well, and we'll need to steer Celtic League and Cup from now until the end of the season. I think the Kasper Schmeichel issue has given all of us a good story to chew over for a week, but there's actually a bigger issue now than Kasper Schmeichel.
Yeah, for sure. It just feels like there's still not unanswered questions, Scott, but you can hear the Celtic fans trying to piece all this together in the sort of timeline. And even as a small example, was he ill? Was he ill before that Rangers game? Because that was the reason that day. That it wasn't about injury.
He did say he was ill, though, didn't he? He said he had an illness in amongst.
It was illness.
I'm sure he said that.
And the thing about the injections has been going back a while. I don't think that has been entirely kept a secret, because you'll remember he missed Livingston away under Wilfried Nancy, and Wilfried Nancy said that day he'd had an injection in his shoulder.
I think, Scott, I don't know if you agree, I think that as a player, never mind the ins and outs of the injury and whether it was career-threatening, this, that or the other, I think that as a player, he should have been left out of the Celtic team weeks ago.
Yeah, I understand that, but you've already seen that the lack of communication when he's been told, obviously, it's career-threatening and the manager didn't know about it. So it's very easy for a player, when you go into a physio room, to skim over the top, say, yeah, they'll ask you a pain out of 10, you say it's a 5 and really it's a 9, because there's always that self-preservation where players think they're invincible, players think they can come through it. That is how footballers think most of the time.
Let's thank Michael and bring in Jerry for his take. Hi, Jerry.
It's just more on Schmeichel gate. what annoyed me most about it was I watched the. I don't have Discovery Plus or Paramount Plus, but I watched it on the internet, the 9 minutes, and I was waiting for somebody, even the female presenter, no idea what her name is. He was standing with his dad. And I'm saying, when's he going to? If he's going to be out for 10 or 12 months, which was his own words, that means he's played his last game for Celtic. And I cannot believe he never mentioned Celtic or any of them, including the girl presenter. And they give him another contract for him to be sitting in various hospitals or whatever. So he has, in fact, last game for Celtic, and he never said in the full 9 minutes. The other thing is, has been noticed before, especially in the European games, that Stevie Woods does. Now, Scott probably knows him. I don't know if he's in the same area when. How did Stevie Woods and his assistants, if he has any, not see? Because I would imagine I've seen some training sessions before, and there's 4 or 5 guys firing in balls, so he's down at left, down, and somebody, they're chipping him in high, chipping him in low, hard, crosses, etc. He must have known, or how did he not notice there was some kind of, because we've been told how bad it is, has been apparent or evident for a long time. And Stevie Woods and his assistants, how did they not notice that when he's going for these balls, his right hand, which was noticed in the, I think it was the Braga game, and he's let in quite a few goals since then. So I don't know what happens, of course, already on the phone in about the physios, but Stevie Woods, being coach, what they do, as I say, I don't know. He's been there 19 years, 2 or 3 grand a week, I don't know, but to improve Barkas. I was actually on here four years ago saying, he not tell Barkas to put his hands up to try and stop a ball for once in a while? So
I'm starting to wonder about some of these individuals though, Hugh and Scott as well, having known some of them. See, because there isn't, there's an information vacuum here, yeah. And people are still trying to piece it all together. I don't know, like Steve, if Stevie Woods is listening tonight, I'm sure he's thinking, it's not my fault. And if the physio was listening, he'll be saying, how am I getting the blame? Yeah. You know, I feel like the finger's getting pointed a little bit, and I think maybe we're straying.
I mean, Jerry's now discussing how much money Stevie Woods gets per week. I mean, that's got nothing to do with anything. Very honest guy, Stevie, know him well, and if he'd been 19 years at Celtic, that's because Celtic value his work. There's an element of sadness about this whole story for me, because when Brendan Rodgers telephoned Kasper Schmeichel, having worked with him at Leicester City, and brought him in, Celtic were very fortunate. They were replacing Joe Hart with Kasper Schmeichel, top-class goalkeeper. And he did well for Celtic. But there then came that point where his physical problems became so great that it was looking like he was struggling.
Let's take Martin O'Neill as like the, obviously the spokesman, the figurehead of the coaching team. So I have to assume Stevie Wood sort of feels the same, or Martin O'Neill speaks on behalf. Martin O'Neill was asked today about, along the lines, not in so many words, of saying, well, is this why his form had dipped? They don't acknowledge that his form was as bad as the fans who phoned this show, because Martin O'Neill he said something like, oh, I guess you're talking about the Stuttgart game, but let's not forget he made a match-winning save for us at Falkirk. I know we lost the Hibs game, but he made a massive save in that game. He kind of rhymed off some of the saves. So now knowing what we know, and with the benefit of hindsight, but I don't think Stevie Woods or Martin O'Neill were all standing in this training pitch and going, he looks hopeless, but we'll just play him on Saturday anyway. I don't think it can have been that simple.
It couldn't be that simple. The fact is that he was playing on the weekends and in the games you speak about, but there's no getting away from his form. It was an incredible dip he's had this season, and that's A, saving the ball, and B, for me, his distribution's been really poor at times. There's no getting away from that. As for Stevie Woods, when you work with guys of that experience, there's an element of trust there, especially with age. There'll be times where he maybe doesn't do the same as what a Ross Doohan or a Sinisalo will do in the training session to protect a Schmeichel towards playing the game. The most important thing for any experienced player, if they're in the starting 11, is to be fit for the Saturday. So you do sometimes get a bit of leeway with the training, so you can, if you want, protect yourself to some degree. But there's no going to be, we can't sit here and say that he's had a good season, because he really hasn't.
Do you buy into what Jerry's saying as well, Hugh, about the thing that's irked him is in 9 minutes, apparently, I didn't time it, that he didn't mention Celtic by name? Is that a problem? Is it an oversight? What do you think? You think strange?
I think it's strange.
It's more than strange. You know, it is utterly disrespectful to the people who pay your wages, and not to inform the club that you intend to say this. You know, the only word you can use is disrespect. You know, I don't care, I'll just do what I want to do. And as I say, the element of sadness for me is that he came into Celtic, did well, latterly did not do well. However, he has now burned his bridges. He has taken the flamethrower to his own reputation.
You can't sit there, Hugh, can't you, and say that it's Martin O'Neill or Tim Williamson, the physio, or Stevie Woods' fault. He's made this decision to go on TV.
There is also quite a lack, though. Just to bear in mind that it's humans we're dealing with. If Kasper Schmeichel's career is over, that's a sad moment for him. You know, it's not like he's the victim, first and foremost.
Yeah.
No, and then, yeah, there's all this other stuff, and I know you represent the club, and with that comes the emotion of all the fans, but I do feel like we're acting like Kasper Schmeichel has done all this bad stuff, and somehow he's unaffected by it.
No, of course he is affected by it.
Majorly. But, career's over, potentially.
Yeah, but there's a way of conducting yourself, and particularly when the door's about to close in your career, there is a way of facing the end, and there's a way of conducting yourself, and he let himself down.
Do you know what I want to find, if you are out there, just a small plea, just out of nosiness, were there any Celtic fans who were watching it live? Because everybody's seen the clip, and then by that point you know what you're looking for. I'm sending it to you going, look, Kasper Schmeichel's just announced. I just want to know if MD's just sitting with a cup of tea, just thinking that they're just.
He didn't send it to the
and
Nokia.
And then he just pops up and announces his retirement, and you think, rewind that. Did I actually say that? I don't know if anybody found out that way or if it was all second hand. Thank you to Jerry. What about Barry on the other line?
Hi, Gordon.
How's it going?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, thank you. What's your take on all this then?
Yeah, it's. My point is, I'm more on your side. I think Casper's done Celtic a disservice there because. He surely knew, and I know you're going to say something, Gordon, but he surely knew. He's saving balls on the left-hand side with his right arm. Surely, and Gordon Dizel's been on about that as well. Why is he going across his body if he's not injured?
But loads of goalies do that, unfortunately, as well, don't they? It's a kind of modern way. I don't know if that was a... Because I remember we spoke about this a bit before when it was the Stuttgart game.
It's the flick wins, isn't it?
And people said we went with that right hand only, didn't bring his left hand over. Because I think the original allegation was that people said he couldn't dive to his left. But the goal in the cup final, that was his right hand he led with. Mikey Moores is down to his right hand side. But it could all just be linked. And then with that maybe comes confidence. You know, you know something's not right, so everything goes, your confidence.
As I say, there's an element of sadness about all of this because... I'm sure that in every game in which he played for Celtic, he was trying his very best. But sometimes your very best is impaired by injury.
You're trying to protect it at the same time.
Yeah.
There's no getting away from that. It really hampers you.
But from the other side of the coin, there's a way of conducting yourself.
Take us through it on a basic level as a player, though. You've got a niggle in your Achilles. But you just tell yourself you're fine. You just want to play. You just do it, don't you? Is that any different? What are we saying here that Kasper Schmeichel should have taken himself out? Do players do that as often as they should?
No, but you're relying on the honesty between the player and the physio. And as I says, players want to play. What you play football for is a Saturday at 3 o'clock or whenever you're playing at the weekend. And you always think you can get through it. I feel that most players are like that. Players I've played with, I've been there myself where you're maybe carrying something. Listen, I went through something different when I get told my career was going to finish, and the first person I phoned was the Hibs manager at the time. So to have that clarity with the club, and then it wasn't for about 3 months later then you release what I'd actually went through. So that's why I find it very strange if it is career threatening. How he didn't have any conversations with anybody for the club.
That's a symptom of his age as well, though, isn't it? It's not saying that he could not play football again. It's that you're out for a year and you're 39.
Yeah.
Right. You know, yours was like, don't play football again, sort of thing.
Yeah.
As you rightly said, Gordon, of course he is a victim in all of this, in that his career has been cut. Well, I was going to say cut short. He is 39, but remember who elongated his career? Brendan Rodgers telephoned him and brought him to Celtic. Celtic elongated his career, gave him Champions League football, etc., etc. What he should have done, and the Celtic fans would have been totally sympathetic, what he should have done is broken the news via the club's media system. And then the sympathy would have been overflowing. But now... he's held in contempt by the majority of the Celtic fans.
Thank you very much to Barry on the line. Before we go any further, how do you fancy getting involved in this year's Kilt Walk? We'd love you to do it for Cash for Kids if you could. We've got spaces available for the big stroll Saturday the 25th and Sunday 26th of April. Starts at Clydebank, finishes at Balloch, and there's the wee wander around Balloch as well on the Sunday. You can get your code for your free place at clyde1.com/cashforkids or by emailing westscotland@cashforkids.org.uk. We'll take more of your calls next.
141-951-1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans is here, so is Scott Allen, and they're waiting on you to get in touch. So let's dive straight back in with John, who's in Cambuslang. Hi, John.
Good evening, Gordon, Hugh and Scott. I just wanted to come on. A couple of months ago, I was on, I made a comment about Emmanuel Fernandez. I think it was Scott was on. I made a joke about him. We played for Margate, only fools and horses joke. And since then, I've thought, wow, what a transformation. Since he's been settled and He just looks... I was very, very wrong about him, and we'll be lucky to keep a hold of him this summer, because I feel as if he's turning on, like Calvin Bassey sort of money we'd get for him in the month, the summer. He just looks assured. There's still got that one or two mistakes in him, but since then, he really proved me wrong, and I'm on to eat humble pie tonight.
See that, Hugh, just quickly. You see that?
Yeah.
Holding your hands up and you were wrong about something.
I was about to say, I don't think you should carry this burden on your own, John. I said to Roger Hanna on Monday night, the last word that I will hear is Yang. So, you know, yeah, you're right. People wrote off Manny Fernandez, as did Giga, and now they can't get enough of him as well. I've got Yang in my conscience. So it's a Scottish trait.
I think particularly Fernandez probably stands above those others in the sense, Scott, that, I mean, he wasn't getting in Rangers match day squads, so it's not like fans or whatever were just sort of, you know, writing him off unfairly. I'm sure there was a couple at the start he wasn't in Rangers match day squads, or he was unused subs or something. Because I remember the conversation and people said £4 million. There's levels. You then have to sort of, you know, justify your place in the team, justify your price tag of £4 million. But now John and others are saying this guy could actually be. Have you seen that level of improvement in him?
Yeah, I would have to agree with John. I think there's still a lot more. I don't think he's hit his ceiling yet. I still think there's a lot more development in him. I think for Rangers, he's been their best centre-back now for at least the last 4 or 5 months. There's no getting away from that. I think you see him on the ball, he's really composed. I thought in the cup game against Celtic, he was the most composed player on the park that day for a centre-back, and he just looks as if there's a lot more to come from. He can step in, he can play. As I says, that composure is a big aspect, especially from a centre-back playing for Rangers in that sort of game. It usually does tell you, can you handle it? I definitely felt he did on that day. And then you have to look at his presence that he offers, especially from set pieces. He's a goal threat, and he's defended well. So there's a lot more to come from Fernandez, in my opinion.
It works both ways. You know, Andreas Skov Olsen, people thought that he was the marquee signing for Rangers, you know, that, albeit... signed on loan with an option to buy, and the option to buy would involve the payment of £8-9 million.
You're allowed to think that though, Hugh, when you see obviously his CV, you think that he's going to make an impact.
But he has gone the opposite direction to Manny Fernandez. Fernandez's stock has risen, and Skov Olsen, every time he's on the park, his stock plunges.
Was it the Rangers Review or somewhere, that story earlier that Bruges liked what they saw after one game or one half or something of Manuel Fernandez, and, you know, already attracting a bit of interest. John, I mean, he scored a few goals as well, set pieces. He's been called up to the international team this week. That'll add to the price tag if it is indeed something that Rangers cash in on anytime soon.
Yeah, definitely. I'd read somewhere he was wanting a goal bonus in his contract because they were so confident he would score goals, but 6 or 7 goals. I know he scored the one against Livingston. Our set pieces have dried up a wee bit, but I feel with Conor Barron back, some of his corners, when he was playing, if he gets back on the corners and set pieces, I feel there'll be more goals to come from Fernandez. And yeah, getting picked for his international team to go for third division English football, to playing for a big team like Rangers and getting called up for your country. It's been a doomed season for him, and long may it continue. And I don't think Nigeria are in the World Cup, so that wouldn't put his standing up. But he's been absolutely... He's made me eat my words, and I'm glad. I've heard to his lap before, and I've thought, sorry, there's no been Rangers pass, and then, well, you know it, they step up.
Did you just bang into somebody in the street there, John?
Yeah, I was standing outside, sorry, I don't get a good signal on my phone sometimes.
Well, don't apologise, I just don't want to know if that person knows that they were inadvertently famous for a wee second, banging into somebody that's calling on the
cameo
show.
Role in Super Scoreboard.
Do you think he is getting kind of better all the time, Scott, as well as the trajectory already looking quite good for him?
The trajectory is looking good, but I think when you've got that level of potential, you then have to move up the levels to then see where that ceiling goes for me. Because obviously Scottish football, you can only get tested with so many games, most of that being against Celtic at times. I know John touched on, the set pieces have dried up, but you have to give credit to Celtic when in that Scottish Cup game, they defended their 6-yard ball ever so well. and made it really hard for Rangers to get on the end of things, as much as Fernandez did, and it obviously gets ruled out, but they defended their box really well, especially against someone with that physical, the physical attributes that he does possess. But I just feel if he keeps progressing the way he is, teams will come in for him and he will leave.
How are you feeling about the title race, John, as we head into another crazy weekend?
Honestly, not that confident. I just feel as if we don't know how to. I can't remember a game this season where we blew a team away. We just seemed grinding out 1-0s or hanging on, and I just, there's no magic. When you talk about Scott Wilson, I was excited when he came in, and it's not happened for him. There's a lot of players that come up to Scotland, big reputations, it's not happened for him. But for him, I don't remember him trying to take a player on. I thought he was a winner, honestly. I just want to see him at least. See, if you try to beat a man five times, you'll do it once. At least you're trying. And for him, I don't know why it's so hard, but he'll not be the first, he'll be the last one to come up to Scotland. Big reputation will happen for him, but I don't know. I don't think it's going to be this season for us, but could be proved wrong.
Incidentally, I think he might be a doubt for tomorrow. I think Danny Rule said he hadn't trained the last 5 days.
But a doubt has he got here?
Scott was steady. Scott Wilson. That the kind of theme, it was a quiet-ish Rangers press conference, I would say. You know, people are interested in this Derek Cornelius thing, but he's still a player who wasn't really in the picture anyway. A couple of injuries or doubts, you know, nothing major, but you could tell the kind of theme that people were trying to get at from Danny Rule is, do you need to play better ultimately in amongst these games where you win? He was a bit guarded on it, sort of underlining the fact that, you know, you'd rather win anyway, and they got a clean sheet last week, and he said that he thought the performance against Hearts was good and Celtic first half was good and even Livingston was good and maybe just didn't take chances. I get managers put a positive sort of spin on things. I don't know if the fans would go quite as far as that.
I think if you look at the St Mirren game, listen, there's no getting away, the wind played a factor in it. It's the worst thing you can play football in. St Mirren didn't offer a threat at all for me throughout the 90 minutes, to be quite honest, and I just felt it again, which has been kind of what I've seen from the Rangers team throughout the season, is just that final third, just having that real bit of finesse, that being able to play that final ball. I just feel they do lack that at times.
There would have been a time, if Rangers were playing Aberdeen on a Saturday evening, it would have been the talk of the town. But Rangers, they're not exciting, but they are potentially on the verge of winning the title. Aberdeen have had a shocker of a season. And the question is, can Stephen Robinson do anything at all? The quick fix for Stephen Robinson at Pittodrie, particularly after the manner in which they dropped 2 points against Falkirk last weekend, the quick fix would be for Stephen Robinson to take points off Rangers. But you just look at Aberdeen and think, not a chance.
No Lyle Cameron. They'll not have Lyle Cameron either. Well, they've obviously been on loan. And listen, I think you have to agree with Daniel Rowe to an extent on this, at this stage of the season. It is all about winning. Yes, they came away with a clean sheet and the 3 points. You're not going to play well every week. There's no getting away from it. But these next two games for Rangers, Aberdeen and Dundee United, they're must wins.
Thank you very much to John. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It's always a big one on a Friday night because you want to end the week on a high. Let's see what you're made of up against Hugh Keevans or Scott Allen on Beat the Pundit. Give us a call right now, please, on 0141 951 1025. And the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. 0141 951 1025. Keep the calls coming in. Yet another night of Casper Schmeichel debate, but it has moved on. Martin O'Neill spoken and revealed that he didn't know the extent of it, of course, and that he was surprised to hear it come out on TV and so on. So if you've any further thoughts, you can get them in. We spoke a bit about Rangers prior to the news there, Emmanuel Fernandez in particular, this notion of trying to get performances as well as points. What about the big championship game tonight, Partick Thistle and St Johnstone? We'll look at that. Let's play this first though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Simon Donnelly confirming himself as bottom of the table last night with yet another defeat. Thought he was going to get a zero at one point. He managed to dig
Gordon,
one out.
Gordon Dale didn't miss him with these comments.
I know, honestly, that's rich. Really is rich coming from him. But tonight's contestant all the way from Perth, Australia.
Wow.
Pretty hard push to find a contestant further away than that.
What time
David,
is it there?
Who's on the line. David, tell the man, what time are we talking?
3 in the morning.
Why is the obvious question? You got up, tell me you've set an alarm for this.
Just to play beat the pundit. So I'll stay up and then I'll go to my bed.
Seriously?
Well, yeah, I was up anyway, so I thought I might as well. I'm never normally listening live, so I thought I'll just
That's unbelievable.
In.
Is there other people in the house, David? Have you got neighbours?
No, just me and the cat.
Fair enough, Finn. What's this type of thing you do when you love yourself? Just phone in radio stations on the other side of the world.
I heard from an old pal of mine who lives in Spain now on a permanent basis, and he said that the expat community there love Super Scoreboard.
A bit shug, we're talking. That's a 1 hour time difference.
Yeah. I fully understand. I know where Australia is.
David, that's some effort. You two need to lie down and let David win here. We can't have a guy at 3 in the morning wasting his time.
How are we going to send the ball to him?
That is a huge issue, not going to lie. You know the expenses in here, they don't stretch very far. Are you ever home, David?
I was back a few months ago. If I win, you can post it to my papa. He was over there.
My mate's back from Perth in a few months.
That sounds good. Meet up with Scott Allen's pal. Where is home here, David?
Edinburgh.
Alright, okay. All right, let's do the coin then. If it's the blue side, it's Hugh Keevans. If it's the red side, it will be Scott Allen. And it's blue for Hugh up against David in Perth, Australia. I need to do a bit of research. Production staff, tell me, is that the furthest ever contestant we've? It must be. Kind of hard push to beat that. Anyway, I'm going to read the questions a bit quicker for Hugh because David's got the time. David needs the extra time because of the delay. Right, 30 seconds on the clock, David. Your time starts now. Who was the first club Mark Wilson managed?
Dundee United.
Who wears number 13 for Rangers?
Pass.
How many English Premier League titles did Sir Alex Ferguson win?
6.
Celtic played which team in their last European final?
Porto.
What nationality is Jerome Prior of Livingston?
French.
Who's Ross County's chairman?
Pass.
Which Scottish League One side play at Recreation Park?
Kelly Hearts.
Okay. Quite tricky tonight. Let's bring him back, Hugh Keevans. Are you ready?
Yep. Same. Why were you two laughing?
I was trying to talk to you two and I realised that you were listening to whatever it was. Couldn't hear a word I was saying, so I'm wasting my breath just talking to myself. You ready?
I am.
Your time starts now. Who was the first club Mark Wilson managed?
Breaking.
Who wears number 13 for Rangers?
Pass.
How many English Premier League titles did Sir Alex Ferguson win?
13.
Celtic played which team in their last European final?
Porto.
What nationality is Livingston's Jerome Prior?
Pass.
Who's Ross County's chairman?
Roy McGregor.
Which Scottish League One team play at Recreation Park?
Alloa.
Who's the most capped Scotland women's player of all time?
Julie Fleeting.
Okay. David, what's the verdict over there?
I think he's probably done me. You got an extra question as well.
At least we don't need to send the ball to Perth if that's the way it turns out. Let's go through them and find out. Poor from you. With pals like you, honestly.
What?
Mark Wilson's first manager's job. Airdrie.
Was it?
Before Breakin.
Oh.
Come on. Remember, Gordon Dale was the director of football. He was the manager.
Serves them right.
Honestly.
How did Gordon Dale
do
it that?
See when you think back on that. Utterly bizarre. I don't know. He said they just used to swan around the canteen trying to get.
I wonder if it was the same Gordon Dale that we see here every night.
I think probably. I think he's only got one setting. But anyway, it was Airdrie. None of you got it. Who wears number 13 for Rangers? Quite a tough question because you very rarely see him. But he has been in the news today, Derek Cornelius. Oh, that's a tricky question. That really is.
I'd forgotten he was still at the club until I read that story.
How many English Premier League titles did Sir Alex Ferguson win? 13. Hugh got it and goes 1-0 in front. And he just fist bumped Scott Allen, which was weird. Celtic played which team in their last European final? It was Porto. I'm going to give David the benefit of the doubt and say that I couldn't quite hear him from Perth. He nearly said the wrong answer. I'm giving him, he said Porto in amongst it. let's call it 2-1 to Hugh Keevans. Jerome Prior is French, the Livingston goalkeeper. David got it and equalises. Ross County's chairman is Roy McGregor, though. Hugh Keevans stretches out in front and caps it off with Alloa Athletic, who play at Recreation Park. You were very confident in your Scotland women's answer. I loved Scott Allen, your sidekick, nodding and smiling at you. Well done, Chunk. It's Julie Fleeting. It's Gemma Fay.
Oh.
Julie Fleeting's a record goal scorer, but Gemma Fay's got 203 caps.
She did a Super Scoreboard programme once. I was in the studio with Gemma.
Did you not ask her how many caps she had?
Then she went to work for the
rugby.
Anyway,
I'm afraid, David, it was an absolute joy to have you on all the way from Perth, Australia, but it was a 4-2 win for Hugh Keevans. Hard lines.
Sorry, I can take losing to Hugh Keevans. He's been around the block a bit.
Several times.
Right, David. So is that it now? Straight to bed?
Probably pretty soon as well.
Brilliant. Sweet dreams, David. Perth, Australia.
Australia Fair.
Brilliant. Well done, David. Thanks again. I am fascinated by that mindset. It gets to 1 in the morning, you think, I'll just stay up. Super Scoreboard starts in another hour, and if I hang on another 2 hours, I'll get to the midway point and play Beat the Pundit.
It shows that Super Scoreboard is a global phenomenon.
Oh yeah, you are Mr. Worldwide. Quite frankly. So there we go.
Got to get you to Miami, haven't they?
Imagine him in South Beach. That would be quite a sight.
Khaki shorts,
handkerchief round your head.
Yeah.
Just imagine.
See, to be fair, I reckon some of your summer wear from the 70s probably back in fashion. Kind of happens, doesn't it?
I hope so.
I would imagine.
Can we get any pictures of you from the 70s?
Oh, I've done a few in recent weeks. I had the perm and the moustache.
The full Monty.
What did you get? A suit, obviously, when you got married.
I got married in a special dinner, not a dinner suit, but some kind of
bow tie.
No, grey tie and black jacket and grey trousers with stripes.
You weren't tempted to go kilt? Was that as popular? I know it sounds daft because I'm well aware that kilts are not a modern phenomenon. Okay, I do get that, but
I wore a kilt for the first time and only time at my daughter's wedding. And you remember Bobby Williamson? They used to manage Kilmarnock. He was one of the guests, and I eventually had to say to him, "Look, Bobby, shut up about the kilt." You know, I'm not exactly Braveheart, you know. So,
but would your peers have worn kilts to get married? Was that a thing?
No.
No,
that Mel Gibson started all that.
Well, I'm not sure that Mel Gibson started the kilt, but I know what you mean. Anyway, I don't know, we got distracted. Yeah. My apologies. What about Dave, who is a Partick Thistle fan? And you're at the stadium, I believe, Dave. How are the nerves?
I am at the stadium, gentlemen, and it's a beautiful night for a great game of football. But as a good evening as well, gentlemen. And every year I phone you, and every year I go through the same dilemma that I don't want promoted.
What?
I hate it. I've been through this with Shugster, and they argued with me last year as well. Mark Wilson's doing a fantastic job. I love everything he does for the club. I love his calmness. But see, when you play in the Championship and you watch real football, you love it. See, when you watch that computerised rubbish VAR, it's not. I wouldn't even think I look forward to the World Cup because of it. So I'm in a two-way again. Every time I phone you, I'm in a two-way. I look forward to beating St Johnstone tonight, but I'm apprehensive. I just don't want it to go up.
I'm struggling with that level of... Because, by the way, I get a sort of... The Championship is pure without VAR, and I get that VAR's a bit annoying, and I get that to a point, but to actively not want promotion because of it, I don't know.
Nah,
that seems extreme, Dave. Seriously?
Given. I might actually allow it this year.
Good, that's very understandable.
I'll never... Dave, listen, you remember how you felt in Dingwall, where you're one foot in the Premiership and a belated collapse of horrific proportions. Remember how you felt that day?
Jake, Dave stood up in Dingwall and shouted, "Don't worry, guys, look on the bright side.
Yeah.
At least we don't need to put up with
VAR.
A handball check next season. Come on, Dave. Could this be the season? Do you think Mark Wilson and Alex Ray can pull it off?
Mark Wilson deserves it. Mark Wilson and Alec have been phenomenal. I love his calmness. I've been on the show beginning of the season when Thistle fans were against Mark Wilson. I backed him from the start. He's gave us cup runs this year, which we hadn't had in many a year. He's gave us everything. Even when we got beat 5-1 at the start of the season with St Johnston, I still felt that he had this kind of thing about him, calmness. But he's built a great belief here.
Is it a must win tonight for you, Dave?
Oh, we need to win tonight. If we don't win tonight, then we might as well just give St Johnston the league. But
which will be good news for you, of course.
I'll be happy, so I'm going to win tonight.
What about the injuries that are stacking up, Dave? We obviously had Tony Watt on the other night. He's one of them. There are a few. Is that denting your confidence?
I think teams have to deal with it. I think that the biggest threat we have is the fact that our keeper, Josh Clark, is going to be going to Northern Ireland for 2 weeks at the pivotal part of the season. So I think that could be a bigger loss for us. Obviously, Tony Watt, not knowing they are great players, but they've got a good squad. I've looked at the lineup tonight. It's not anything shocking. There's nothing really different there. So it's as strong as we could be tonight.
Yeah, I mean, Dave's very understanding, Scott, and it is true. Everybody's going to have to cope with injuries and so on. It just feels that if you're comparing those two, if you're talking about these two teams going head to head at the top, St Johnstone already went into the season with a much bigger resource than Partick Thistle did. They then got to January and added Josh Fowler from Queen's Park, who Thistle would have loved, Alfredo Aguiman, who Thistle thought they were getting, and Rory Payton as well.
Is that the one that was on the bench tonight?
Exactly.
Mark was saying that.
And then Thistle's injuries on top of it. So Dave's a very sort of philosophical man. You need to deal with these things. But it underlines, I think, the challenge Thistle have got to overcome St Johnstone and win this league.
Yeah, there's no getting away from that. I think when you do look at the strength and depth that St Johnstone have, it is quite incomparable with what Thistle and what Mark has had to work with since the start of the season and try and get players in. And the players he's managed to get in have actually been fantastic for him. I do think loss of Tony in a night like this is a big loss for Thistle. I think as much as he might be quiet in games sometimes, he's always capable of producing something, and usually in the bigger games he rises to the occasion. So I do think he's a big miss. The goalkeeper situation, that could be a problem for Thistle, no getting away from that. Stan May, obviously, he's in for me. He was a standout in the game in the cup against St Mirren a few weeks ago. A real surprise for me that he wasn't included in that Scotland under 21 squad.
Maybe it's because Mark went to war with the Scottish FA over the refereeing decision, and now the national teams are turning their back.
I think it's little.
I'll start a wee conspiracy theory. I'm sure they're unrelated, for what it's worth. Hugh Dave's sort of with you, which is always a strange place to be.
Yeah,
must win tonight.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't, Dave's right. St Johnstone are the champions elect at that point. But I would take Thistle in the playoffs, take their chances against a St Mirren or a Kilmarnock. So as long as Alec and Mark hang in there and make sure that they are in the playoffs.
You're scarred by the playoffs now though, Dave?
Always scarred by them, but this time, coming from second place, we've got that luxury of a wee bit of a break. I think it's been I don't think any team has ever came from fourth place. We're always there. Mm-hmm. But we played St Mirren a few weeks ago, and I wouldn't even fear St Mirren if it was a playoff. I think that the bottom three or the bottom four of the champion, the Premiership, they're no any better than some of the good teams. Dunfermline are a good team, and Arbroath's a great team. So it's like cup finals. That's what I look forward to, maybe a cup final. Probably still don't want it up, but
honestly, Dave, what is the joy in this man's life?
I know. I mean, I think back to Partick Thistle against Celtic in the cup earlier on this season. Must have been the Premier Sports Cup. And, you know, I went along to the game with one of my grandsons, and to see Maryhill Road full of football supporters, to see them flocking into the ground, and that's what you want. That's what Partick Thistle should be all about.
I've got this notion that Thistle do get promoted via the playoffs. They go to Celtic Park on the opening day of the season. In the last minute, there's a VAR check. They get a penalty. They score it and win. And Dave's just sitting there shaking his head, unimpressed. I'm sold. Nope, this is not what I signed up for, says
I'd
Dave.
I'd rather
from
play
Dublin.
Ross County.
Exactly. Anyway, enjoy the game tonight, Dave. It's a bit early to be previewing the playoffs, Scott. We don't even know who's in them, but the St Mirren game, I wonder if that is a good barometer for Thistle, because they went to St Mirren, handled themselves really well, and they'll then think if it was to be St Mirren, they maybe wouldn't go in fearful. But I still feel like the 11th place team, whoever they are, is still going to have a certain level of strength about them. I mean, you look at Kilmarnock at the moment, what they're capable of, beating Hearts and Ran Celtic very close in recent weeks. St Mirren have one cup in the bag, still in the hunt for another. Now, granted, the league form has fallen off, and that's where they are. That's why they are where they are, but I don't know. I still feel like the 11th place team could be quite daunting for the second place team in the championship.
Yeah, I would agree. I do think that whether it's a bro finishing that in that third spot as well, that can be a tricky game for any side
before
over,
even get to that,
over both legs. But I do feel whether it's St Mirren or Kilmarnock, still a really difficult game for whether it's Partick or a bro for someone like that. But at the same time, momentum is a big thing in football. How the bottom six split games will look if St Mirren obviously perform the way we've seen this season, where they're not scoring goals and they're conceding. Thistle believe there's a chance to go and score goals against
them. We've had a good week with Kasper Schmeichel and had a good go at that story. What about St Mirren and the new manager? I mean, the name's been mentioned here. Neil Lennon. Can you imagine? Neil Lennon against Martin O'Neill, semi-final of the Scottish Cup at Hampden. Or Stephen McGinn, Falkirk against St Mirren tomorrow. Stephen's part of the Falkirk setup, but St Mirren and McGinn's go well together.
Well, that is the championship game tonight. It's a cracker, Partick Thistle, St Johnstone. What about the top end of the top flight, though? How are your thoughts on the title race? What are you looking forward to this weekend? Keep the calls coming. We will speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One's Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. We've been building up to kickoff between Partick Thistle and St Johnstone. We want your thoughts on the title race, so get them over to us right now if you can, and we will speak to you between now and 8 o'clock. Let's hear from Danny Rule. He's been talking about Finlay Curtis. Of course, it's exciting news for him. He's got the Scotland call up, but maybe laced a bit with questions of, does this mean Rangers shouldn't have let him go just now? Would he have been an asset to them in a wide right position that's maybe not fluent at the moment? This is what the manager had to say.
Yeah, at first I was really happy. I sent him a message, big congratulations to him. I think it's a huge step. And for me, the plan was he got game minutes. He got game minutes, and now he could make the step in the national squad. This is fantastic. I think he is playing in different positions. That helps as well. And our goal was that we bring Finlay in the summer back, and we get a better player, and all these things goes in the right direction. I'm not sure if this is possible when you have 5, 6, 7 players in the same position, and that was the reason why we made the decision, and I'm really pleased with this development. I follow him, we follow him as a club, and he helps us as well with good performances and with good results.
If Rangers don't win the league, one of the things that will be held against Danny Rule will be, why did you let Finlay Curtis go to Kilmarnock?
He doesn't have 5 or 6 players in that position better than him either.
Yeah, but anyway, that's for Danny Rule to live with. I never think of Stevie Clark as a particularly spontaneous type of guy, but he's looked at Finlay Curtis and thought, he'll do for me, and brought him in to everyone's surprise, let's be honest. Yeah. So he does have some kind of spontaneity inside of him, Stevie Clark.
Yeah, he's clearly heavily influenced, not knee-jerk, I don't think, but heavily influenced by going to Kilmarnock Hearts on Saturday night, seeing Finlay Curtis play well and naming the squad on Monday.
Well, that's so spontaneous.
To kind of, we've spoken about it from a Scotland perspective through a Rangers lens. Is there a question on it, Scott? Or as Danny Rule says, this was the point. The point was he was to go out and get game time, and just because he's got a call up doesn't necessarily mean he should have stayed at Rangers.
It's a bit of a mixed bag for me. I understand. I think first and foremost, as a player, Finlay Curtis obviously wasn't happy with just cameo appearances here and there. What I did feel though, when he was at Rangers, when he did play, he's very direct. He maybe needs polished in that final ball and all these sort of things, and what going to Kilmarnock under Neil McCann and getting minutes to go and show that, that helps with that. There's no getting, feeling like a first team player, whereas at Rangers you're just hoping for that opportunity all the time. So at the same time, coming back in the summer, you're going to have a better player. But saying there's five or six players in that position, I don't think there's five or six players better than him.
A bit later than normal, let's do this question for you.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Paddy in Deacon's Bank has sent this question in. Can you name the last six managers who won the old Scottish First Division before it became the Championship? So I'll tell you the year it became the Championship in 2013. So who were the last six managers to win it as the First Division in the lead up to the rebrand, if you like, in
John
2013?
Lambie.
Nope. You've gone back too far. So essentially from kind of 2007 up to 2013, loosely.
Dear.
Quite tricky that, actually. I mean, when you see
Ed
the
McGuinness
name,
did, oh.
Yes, St Johnson 08-09 season. Well done. So that era,
did Oney Coyle do it?
Nope.
No.
I'll take a couple more guesses quickly, then more calls.
Ian McCall?
Nope. What kind of clubs are you thinking?
I was thinking Gretna in there.
Nope.
Just missed
it before that.
St Johnston,
so you've
Dundee.
Done your St Johnston.
Be a Dundee in there.
Nah, no, not in that little run.
Livingston.
Nope.
No.
Nope. Livingston didn't come back up till later than that. No. Falkirk, remember, were out for ages. That's them just back in the top flight. So teams that came up kind of 2008, 2010, 11, 12, 13, teams that came up. You were right.
Inverness.
Yes.
Jones.
Nope. The other one. There's an Inverness in there. 09, 10.
McIntyre.
Oh, well, I'll give
Ross
you
County.
Dunfermline he did it with.
Yeah. I meant Dunfermline.
Is that right, actually? Dunfermline. Anyway, he's on my list, Jim McIntyre.
Ross County in there.
We'll get back to it. We'll get back to it. Let's bring in James, who is in Port Glasgow. How's it going, James?
Well, thank God. Good evening, Scott. Good evening, Hugh.
Hi there,
James.
I'd like to talk about the split.
Go for it.
After the 33 games, we have played 16 at home. Rangers have played 17, so is Hearts. So the five remaining games, it's role reversal. We will have three at home and two away. I've done a calculation. It'll be Falkirk, Rangers and Hearts. Sorry, Falkirk, Rangers and Hearts at Celtic Park, away to Easter Road and away to Firth Park.
It should be right.
Do you think that gives us an advantage?
Nothing set in stone, Hugh, because you know the fixtures come out. But I think James is right. The best guess that I've seen in kind of doing the rounds and stuff, and lots of people reckoning this will be the best guess, is that Celtic need to go away to Hibs and Motherwell, but Hearts need to go away to Hibs, Motherwell and Rangers, yeah. And Rangers need to go away to Celtic, Hearts and Falkirk.
Yeah.
If there is not a chance, it's even close to guarantees, but very, very loosely, on paper alone, that would be slightly in Celtic's favour, no?
I'm not sure, because Celtic have got many problems to contend with regarding their own team, the lack of firepower.
That's not what I'm asking, though. I get that. I'm talking about
If you have to go to Motherwell, then that's a problem, bearing in mind what happened to Celtic the last time they went there. And if you have to go to Easter Road, although they're up and down as a team, traditionally, it's a very awkward fixture. It's anything but a gimme.
I know, nobody's saying it's a gimme, but in comparison to what you might have to do. So as an example, I'm talking purely paper and the order that the teams are in the league table. So if you are Rangers, your two closest rivals are Celtic and Hearts. Mm-hmm. You have to go away to those grounds.
Yeah.
So I'm talking purely paper. There's only a point in it, as if I'm going to say, I'm not saying this means Celtic are going to, you know, win the league, but purely on paper, on that combination of who is where, even by the fact that it's two away games versus three away games.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe that Any permutation you come up with necessarily brings out a favourite. I think it's a minefield for the three of them, home and away.
I don't doubt that. If you had to choose, though, two away games or three?
I would take
two away games or three away games. What are you choosing?
Two away games. Two away games, I think. In the two away games, Easter Road, I agree with you, it can be a really difficult game for any team, but when there's that on the line, it'll be a game where Celtic will believe they can go and win. And listen, Fir Park, as we've seen earlier on under Wilfred Nancy, it was a really difficult night for Celtic. But again, I think you'd rather take the two fixtures away from home than going away to Ibrox and Tynecastle.
Celtic Rangers at Celtic Park, lottery. Mm-hmm. Celtic Hearts at Celtic Park,
nobody's
lottery.
Saying it's not, but you're saying if you had the choice, would you rather do it at home or away? If you were Celtic, would you rather play Rangers at Celtic Park or at Ibrox?
Probably Celtic Park.
Of course.
bearing in mind they lost 3-1 at Celtic Park.
I know, that's why everybody's saying that there's no guarantees, but we're talking about...
just on the face of it.
What about the, James, the counterpoint that Hugh does put up, though, because it isn't played on paper, and away to Hibs, away to Motherwell, even the fact that you're at home to Rangers and Hearts, but they've both come to Celtic Park and won this season.
That's true, but the way I work to it is the first game will be Hearts, second game will be Easter Ross, second game will be Easter Road, third game will be Rangers, fourth game will be Firth Park, and the final game will be Falkirk. That's my interpretation of how it might come out.
Yeah, I don't know about that. You listen, of course you could be right, but I think I've seen other versions of that, you know, which have Celtic at home to Falkirk first and all that sort of stuff. So the good news is arithmetically Falkirk should be done this weekend. Uh-huh. You would imagine top six, which means I don't know when Mr. SPFL, Mr. Sky, Mr. but whoever else is involved, Monday, before, Tuesday, we get the fixtures perhaps.
James, before you get to your permutations about home and away and the final five games post split, you've got two visits to Dundee to come.
These next eight games are vital. I believe one of the Old Firm will drop out within the next month, the next four games or five games, and then it'll be a fight between us and Hearts, our Rangers and Hearts. That's what I think, because no game's easy, as you know, but I would rather be at Parkhead against Hearts and Rangers rather than go to Tynecastle and Ibrox.
It's going to be good, because we're going to do this round and round. We're going to be, once we get them, and we'll see who goes where, and even when, because then you'll start to get drawn to the last couple of match days. If a league is going to be won by whoever, where's it going to be won? Who's going to be playing at that same time? Where's the helicopter going? Oh, honestly, cannot wait. Bring on. Incidentally, James, fixtures or no fixtures, are you confident in Celtic's place at the moment? You reckon they'll win the title?
To be honest with you, I'm fifth, Bill. I'm between 55% and 60%, I'm not sure.
Because 57.
Well, it's three chances, isn't it? Between Rangers, Hearts and us. I'd like to think we'll go over the line, but I'm no 100% sure, to be honest.
That's an honest answer.
I won't hold that. How could you be?
How could you be? Yeah exactly. You know, the Rangers and Hearts have both won at Celtic Park this season. Dundee United beat Celtic the last time they were at Tannadice, although it was in the days of he whose name will never be spoken of again by the Celtic supporters. Every game's a fascination. Aberdeen are rotten, but how do you know in this mad season that they might not go to Ibrox and get a point tomorrow night? Dundee at Hearts.
It's a key game.
Yeah, if you're two down in the Dundee Derby after 93 minutes and you get a draw...
94, don't you do us out of extra drama.
Oh, they scored in the 94th, right?
Mm. Well, that's fine. That sounds better.
Ross Graham's probably still under his bed.
Honestly, how must he have been feeling last weekend?
He's a Dundee United fan as well.
Captain everything.
Captain United fan.
Any worry about Dundee United away, James? The pitch isn't great, all that sort of stuff this weekend.
Yes, there's going to be a shocker somewhere. And if you think about it, after Dundee United were away back again to Dens Park,
yeah,
and Dundee beat us before this season, and all. So it's, as I say, try to give a permutation. I couldn't. It's very hard. I think one of us will fall by the way if there's a third game into the split. could be us, it could be Rangers, but it's brilliant. I think this is brilliant that we're talking about an outsider, and it's been great. And if Hearts do win it, they'll be well deserved.
Oh yeah,
I'm not a Celtic fan.
Dundee United, a good man, James. Thanks for taking the time. Dundee United have only won one home league game since the middle of December, and that was that one against Celtic. The middle of December. Since then, they beat St Mirren at home. Remember that midweek on the really, really bad pitch a few weeks ago.
Alex Gogic and Ball.
But again, do you have to acknowledge that it just is a bit of a leveler when it's like that?
It is. Yeah, obviously, I was up there last week and seen the pitch. It isn't great, but at the same time, you would expect Celtic, some of the players they've got to handle, especially when you're in a title run in. I'm with you. I do feel that these next two games for Celtic, obviously trip to Tandyce and to Dens, they do pose problems for this Celtic side. There's no getting away from that. Listen, if you're serious about really going and putting real pressure on Hearts, then you need to come away from Tandyce with a win.
In their favour, they have responded to Martin O'Neill in an incredible fashion, and they did get the draw at Ibrox after being two down, and they did get the win over Motherwell. We can argue over the progress of the game, the sending off, etc., etc., but Celtic got the job done, and they must understand the seriousness of the situation at Tannadice. By that time, in all likelihood, Rangers will be above Celtic in the league table, and the pressure's on. But in Yang, they trust.
Wow. Words I never thought I'd hear you say. Martin O'Neill was getting exasperated at all the injury updates he was having to provide today. But in amongst it, I think he did say Callum McGregor was raring to go. It's obviously a boost. But then they won without him last weekend.
Yeah, but there's no doubt they're a better team with Callum McGregor in it, especially for that sort of fixture. He obviously knows what sort of game that will look like on Sunday, so that's a massive bonus for Celtic.
See, Alistair Johnson was back in training today.
Well, he, you know, fantastic player. But if you offered a Celtic fan right now Orojo or Alistair Johnson, they might say Orojo.
Nah, no chance.
They have taken to Orojo well.
I know, but Alistair Johnson's a far better player than Orojo.
But how the length of time that Alistair Johnson's been
that,
out,
but you know, if you two players, you're taking.
I think they're hoping after the international break, although there's a bit of work to be done because he's been called up by Canada, almost in a Grant Hanley style of like, come along anyway. We know you've been out injured, but we want you with us. I assume that's, and Celtic are debating whether that's the right idea. I think is probably the best way of summing it up.
I think Celtic have to look after their own corner here. You know, Alistair Johnson is a very important player. Celtic, the very first call tonight, I think we went over the mad season that Celtic have had of three managers, and part of that mad season has been how many serious injuries at the same time can a club suffer? And they've had Carter Vickers, Jota, Alistair Johnson. It's been incredible. I think Celtic have to look out for
Engels,
themselves.
I think, trained today as well, but I think maybe a bit too early for him also.
Yeah, as I say, they know what's at stake when they go to Tannadice. It's now the rock in the hard place. Push has got to shove.
Right. 0141 951 1025. How are you two faring in this teaser? I think you made an okay start, but then it tailed off. Who are the last six managers to win the old Scottish First Division before it became the Championship in 2013? You flew right in with Derek McInnes, which was a very good answer.
Did Jim Jeffries do it?
Jim McIntyre at Dunfermline as well. No, Jim Jeffries, no. You've still not got that Inverness or Ross County manager. I think both quite.
Inverness manager. So not John Hughes?
No.
Terry Butcher?
Yes. And we'll get the rest of the answers when we return.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, which means we are underway. 5 seconds on the clock. Partick Thistle against St Johnston at Firhill, or the Wire Stadium at Firhill, to give it its correct name. And looking forward to even those 2 days of sun. I've made the pitches a bit greener.
Say that. The pitch looks brilliant.
That was bald this morning, but a nice day of sunshine.
Tannadice will be flying at the weekend.
14 degrees or whatever it got to and we're looking good. But it's a massive night, isn't it? And we were just commenting how, just how great that looks, Hugh. Yeah. How lively that is. I know there's an ongoing debate at the moment. I don't think I can open this can of worms at 7:45, but you know, about ultra culture and stuff like that. But you look at the number of young fans there, both ends, they're all really engaged. The numbers are great. That's a proper Friday night in the Championship.
Yeah, and the football grounds are all the better for it, so long as you mind your manners. So there's lots that other ultras could learn from that. This is about colour, theatre, call it what you like. And that's why I said to the earlier caller, the Partick Thistle fan, I want to see Maryhill Road full of young, middle-aged, old people. I want to see Maryhill Road buzzing for Partick Thistle.
I'd almost forgotten about him already. Just the notion that Ben Stanway smashes one in off the bar in a minute, but that guy just stands, shakes his head, no. Don't want it. Don't want to go up. Sorry, Regent. That was the weirdest take ever, I think, ever.
Who's that, Dave?
Just doesn't want to go up because of VAR.
Bizarre. Yeah, I'm not having that.
I get
not even for the party that he would have. Always, he's obviously fellow fans.
Yeah, I'm sure he's been a bit selective.
A bit selfish, isn't it?
Go on then, get your predictions in for this one before anything of note happens.
My heart says 2-1 Partick Thistle. My head says 2-2.
I think it'll be a draw as well.
There we go. We'll find out, and whatever happens, we can reflect on it tomorrow. Plenty to look forward to there for sure. But the top flight is taking a lot of our attention. We've not really got round to hearing from any Hearts fans tonight. We've had a few on through the week. They are first up, Hugh. You know, yeah, you're in a proper three-way title race when you get obsessed with the scheduling. So they're first. They're at home to Dundee. What do you make of that one tomorrow?
When they lost it to Ibrox, people climbed onto the bandwagon about, ah, box crashed. And when they lost at Kilmarnock last Saturday night, bottles crashed. So they have to respond, as they did to the Ibrox result, respond and be better. But Elvis and that Dundee team, they're you can't dismiss them. He's done a terrific job there.
Well, this is a Dundee team that beat Motherwell a couple of weeks ago, which isn't easy to do. Next one last week, because you obviously get credit for drawing that game so late on, but I mean, they weren't good.
No, they were outplayed.
Which was probably a surprise to people. But like, to state the obvious, this is about Hearts, isn't it? And what they do and what they lay down for the other two to follow.
Yeah, it's a huge opportunity for Hearts. I do think, obviously, the introduction again of Devlin and Shankland, whether both of them will be on beyond the bench or not, but I do just feel them coming back does give you a natural lift around about that squad who are needing it at this time. As you touched on there, they've, especially against Kilmarnock, they just didn't play at all last week. Kilmarnock were much deserving of that win, albeit Bragg has got to go down for me, got to go down. But I do feel Hearts will come through that game.
Well, you look at the record, they've drawn 4 times at home, Hearts, and they've lost none. So it's pretty clear where their strengths lie.
I'm laughing because last Saturday night, we're at a wee family party and watching the game on a phone, which always tickles me.
No, your phone, I would imagine.
No, that's for sure. But we had a mad hippie who wants anybody but Hearts to win the title. We had a Rangers fan who obviously has his own preference, and a Celtic fan. So the three of them, in all manner of agony and ecstasy, and when Hearts lost, they were all delighted in their own way.
Do you think Hearts will win tomorrow?
Yes.
First and foremost, you do?
Yes.
And then put that marker down to the other two?
Yeah, without doubt. And as I say, the fascination, any other time, Rangers-Aberdeen would be the big game of the weekend, but it's kind of dismissed because Aberdeen have been so poor.
It's hard to tell what Aberdeen are going to look like tomorrow night.
You can't change a group of players overnight, but their chances of coming and making life tough for Rangers improved by the fact that it is Stephen Robinson, yes, in the dugout now.
Yeah.
He had a week to work with them. You know, the manner of the draw last week, not acceptable to the Aberdeen fans, but then the whole season's been unacceptable to the Aberdeen fans. But I repeat, the quickest way for Stephen Robinson to ingratiate himself with the Aberdeen fans is to take something off Rangers tomorrow.
That would be one way to win them over.
Like tomorrow will be, they'll obviously look to get back into that defensive shape and look to counter-attack Rangers, try and force Rangers into the kind of straight passes into the middle of the park. And it's up to Rangers to be to a little bit more care in that final third to go and win the game.
If we're talking about the issue at the top of the championship being decided tonight for you guys in the event of a St Johnston win, if you're looking at the picture just above these two, i.e. the bottom of the Premiership, mm-hmm. if, and it's probably a big if Livy aren't gone already, sorry Marvin, mm-hmm. are they gone if Kilmarnock beat them tomorrow?
For sure.
Yes.
I mean, you'd have to be guilty of self-delusion to think anything other than that. You know, Marv, four draws on the bounce, but Neil McCann and the Billy Dodds have got something going on at Kilmarnock. I'm convinced that Kilmarnock will finish 10th and St Mirren will be 11th in the league. So it's up. St Mirren are going to have to face the ordeal, I think.
But then it might to stress that, Scott, be it just one more weekend though where Marvin can maybe point out that nothing has changed. Maybe the team above them. But let's say Falkirk beat St Mirren, which is not unthinkable. In fact, you would back that,
yeah,
in would. Current form. Then actually the gap between Livingston and what's above them does remain the same. But it's just that, is it that psychology of playing the team directly above you? Do you know what I mean? They would still be nine points behind St Mirren if those two results played out.
I just feel, looking at Livingston, they're just not winning enough games. Yes, St Mirren. Listen, I'm with you. I think Kilmarnock will finish above St Mirren, and then it'll be between them and whoever. But I just can't see Livingston.
Incidentally,
I just can't see them winning enough games between now and the end of the season.
Aberdeen, you know, I fully expect them to lose at Ibrox. They're not out of this, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not that far away from Kilmarnock and St Mirren that they can say, well, it doesn't concern us. It does.
What an incentive for your old team, though. Scott Allen Hibbs going to Fir Park. I think Motherwell, you know, still would be people's favourites at home, and they've got a very good defensive record. If Hibs can win that, they go within 3 points. Now, all the praise Motherwell have had, I've been very much amongst it, and they've deserved it. But Hibs could go within 3 points of them if they win that game tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that it was a huge missed opportunity for Hibs last week, obviously against Livingston. A lot of frustration round the ground. They had lots of possession and just couldn't quite turn it into a win. I still think it's a big ask for Hibs to go there under Jens and what he's done at Fir Park. I watched him obviously earlier in the season, and Motherwell absolutely dismantled Hibs on that night, so it'll be interesting to see how David Gray actually sets up for that.
Maybe Jens will have something up his sleeve, yeah, as well. He likes to mix it up a bit.
Yeah, you would expect
Motherwell are a better team than Hibs, for me. Simple as that. And if Hibs lose tomorrow, the only thing they have left is beating Hearts and preventing Hearts from winning the title.
Okay, let's finish off that teaser. Still goalless Partick Thistle St Johnston. Before the championship became the championship in 2013, who were the last six managers to win the old Scottish First Division? Jim McIntyre of Dunfermline, Terry Butcher of Inverness Cali Thistle, Derek McInnes of St Johnston.
John Robertson do it?
Nope, the Ross County one.
Derek Adams?
Yes.
Ah.
Okay, two to get. Who came up 2007-08, went back down again, and then came up very dramatically via the playoffs in 2014-ish.
Hamilton manager.
Who brought Hamilton?
Alex Neil?
No, that was the second time. Before that, you know him. You know everybody though. I don't know what that's going to do.
How well do I know him?
I think you know him quite well. Gone down south and had a good assistant managerial career. Billy Reid.
Oh. Yeah, that's yours. He went to Denmark as well, didn't he?
And the most recent man to do it, the last man, he'll have this in his CV forever, the last man to get promoted from the First Division before it became the Championship. The team are playing just now at home, Partick Thistle. Who brought them up?
Chris Dillon? No, too far back. What are we talking about?
He might be on the coaching staff of the
Premiership
winners.
Alan Archibald.
Yep.
Alan Archibald. Thank you, Hugh Keevans. Thank you, Scott Allen. Rest up, Premiership fans. We're going to need it all the energy for tomorrow and Sunday. It is going to be another huge weekend. We cannot wait. So make sure you join us at 2 o'clock tomorrow and enjoy the GBX, which is up next.